nothing but a heartache. Hits you when it's too late. Hits you when you're done.
Well, good morning and welcome to Monday Morning. Evan Bray, great to have you here. Heartache? Well, I mean, we're maybe if you're talking about the Ryder game, and we will talk a little bit about that, but it was a full weekend this weekend. Lots going on. Farmers, of course, still in full swing. If harvest isn't done for you, you are no doubt working feverishly through what was a beautiful weekend to get it done. Riders, disappointment. Blue Jays, excitement. Team Canada Women's Rugby, disappointment. A lot of ups and downs in the sports world. And, of course, Big Bryan Adams concert last night in Regina. So, yeah, great weekend full of activity, lots of different things going on. We have got a full show today. We're going to dig into the Canada Post situation in just a minute. The strike's going on. Of course, we've got serious mail changes happening over the next decade. I've got a couple of great guests to discuss that. Roundtable of Justice today. This is a day ahead of the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation. Today, we're going to take a look at Indigenous policing and justice. There's some real positive things happening. There's some frustrations, I would say, on what appears to be a system that isn't working for anyone in a couple of regards. So we'll talk with a couple of guests about that. I've got the author of a new book focused on keys to success. I've got a guest talking about how many snowbirds have decided to sell their U.S. properties because of Donald Trump, and a Saskatchewan stuntman who has worked with Hollywood elite like Leonardo DiCaprio. We've got a full show today. Let's get going with today's big talker.
Let's get down to business, shall we?
Welcome.
Let's begin.
The Evan Bray Show, the big talker.
You know, just this weekend, I actually had a small little, it's not even a parcel. It was a letter that I needed to have it delivered to someone who lives about an hour away from where I live. Normally, that is a stamp, throw it in the mail. Actually took a drive Sunday afternoon. It was time sensitive, so needed to get it to him. Dropped it off in his mailbox at home myself. We got postal workers are on strike. This is, of course, the second time in less than a year after Canada Post announced last week it was planning to end door-to-door mail delivery over the next 10 years. This is all in an effort to fix the money situation. $10 million a day is what is being lost by Canada Post. Union not happy. And coming up just after nine, I've got a union president from our province joining us to talk about their concerns with this. But I wanted to bring on to the show someone who needs no introduction, but I'll give him one anyway. Steve Seiferling, labor and employment lawyer. We've had Stephen on many, many times, managing and founding lawyer of Seiferling Law in Saskatoon. Stephen Seiferling, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, Evan.
It's good to have you back. This time we're talking, but last week we had you on, we were talking about the situation with the police officers in Saskatoon. Now we're going to take it to a different discussion topic, and that is what's going on with Canada Post. I'm curious, maybe just to set the scene, to what extent can the government of Canada unilaterally impose structural changes like the ones that they talked about last week without negotiating them?
That's a great question, because my understanding is that Canada Post, in the bargaining process, has tried to negotiate some changes, and the union at every turn has said, no, we're not interested in that. And that's the party's rights in bargaining, is they can say no. It's known as hard bargaining. You can say no to a proposal from the other side. But what's happened here is the government of Canada has decided, okay, well, maybe we need to step in. This Crown corporation that is supposed to be self-sustaining has lost $5 billion over the last 5 or 6 years. Maybe we need to do something about this and see if we can make it self-sustaining again. So they took a look at some of the things that they can do and are that they'd like to do, and they got rid of a moratorium on closure of rural post offices that's been around since 94. They got rid of a number of things. But that brings me back to the question you just asked, which is, can they do that? And the Liberal government in the early 80s put into place the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. The early cases we got out of that said, yes, it applies to all government action, but we're not going to dig into things like collective bargaining or the right to strike. Fast forward 25, 30 years, and the Supreme Court of Canada changes its mind and says, no, 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 the charter does cover collective bargaining. The charter does cover the right to strike. And so now we need to look at whether or not government action substantially interferes with collective bargaining. And that's going to be the question that comes to the forefront.
Is there a difference here because it's a crown corporation? Like, if I think about a private workforce that has unionized workers, there I'm guessing is an ability still for the owners of the company, if they are bleeding, hemorrhaging badly in terms of, you know, running deficits and those types of things, there's an ability for them to make a change to the business model. Does the federal government have that same leverage because this is a crown corporation?
Well, we know from another Supreme Court decision that a business, even a unionized business, can always close. In that case, it was a Walmart closing in Quebec and opening up in a different center. But a business is always able to close some or all of its business. Now, the barrier on closure here for these rural post offices was this moratorium. So that one will be an interesting one. But some of the other things that they want to do to create more flexibility in the workforce, government action is what's protected under the charter. And it was actually the BC Health case where a number of the collective agreements, well, one of the collective agreements out in BC was modified by BC law or proposed BC law. And the Supreme Court said, well, you can't interfere substantially with collective bargaining. So you can do small things, but you can't interfere substantially with collective bargaining. So for this one, there's going to be a question of whether or not a government-imposed moratorium versus something in a collective agreement substantially interferes. But businesses generally, according to the Supreme Court, can close some or all of their business at any time.
Stephen Seiferling is my guest, labor and employment lawyer from Seiferling Law in Saskatoon. I do have to say I'm scratching my head a little bit at the decision to make this announcement knowing that there's no contract in place, because no one probably should be surprised. The union said, okay, we're out. We're walking out again. Was there strategy involved with the timing of the announcement?
Well, it's not true that there's no contract in place. It's the old contract sure. survives until you negotiate a new one. But yes, they haven't completed collective bargaining. And I mean, the government's going to have some options here. They could legislate or, using the Canada Labor Code powers, order the workers back to work. If they choose not to do that, I think we're in for a long haul here. I think the workers are going to be out for a fairly long time because there is no middle ground. They've tried, and there is no middle ground between the positions of the Canada Post as a business and between the Canadian Union of Postal Workers. They have tried, and they cannot find any middle ground. And I understand why. I mean, the union's got certain rights that it wants to protect for its members, and the employer, the Canada Post employer in this case, is looking at losing $5 billion over the last number of years, and they want to right the ship.
Mm-hmm.
And the collective agreement and some of the other things government has imposed are preventing them from doing that right now.
So I'm curious to know, I mean, walking out in a full out strike is obviously what the union was able to do in a snap. But can they also do something more court-directed? Like, is there an injunction that they could do to block the implementation of this pending full negotiation, for example? What do they have at their disposal?
They could ask the courts for an injunction. I mean, they are going to... I'm speculating here because nothing's been filed, but I assume the Union of Postal Workers is going to go to court and challenge this government action under the charter. They could ask for an injunction preventing anything from happening. But as you said, the plan is to be instituted over the next 10 years.
So what does that mean, Steve, in terms of there's a duty, I'm assuming, on the part of the employer, which Canada Post, federal government, to give proper warning and notice of any significant changes in job structure, business model. To me, a decade seems like fair notice. Is that going to play a factor in this?
Well, there's two things that you need to do as an employer. The first one is, once a decision has been made, you have to inform the union that the decision has been made. You don't have to inform the union, we're having strategic discussions about this, this, and this. But if I make a decision as an employer that I'm laying off 100 people next week, as soon as that decision's made, I have a duty to inform the union. So in this case, my understanding is, as soon as the government of Canada made the decision to end the moratorium and make the other changes, they did inform the union and then they announced it publicly. So the union is naturally going to have a negative response to it. And I'll be listening at 9 o'clock when your union guest comes on, because I'm interested to hear what they have to say. But this is going to be a test of how much does the Postal Service continue to mean as far as an essential service. Mm-hmm. I agree that there's some elements of it that are essential. But even those elements, I would encourage everybody who's listening to go and talk to your tech-savvy kids, grandkids, friend, neighbor, and see what you can do to get anything financial-related done online. Because using your example from earlier where you drove an hour to drop something off, most people just email these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's...
And when it comes to financials, you can e-transfer, you can do the other stuff.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, and many people will point out for seniors, they are a part of the population who will be seriously impacted by these types of changes. Maybe as generations change, there will be less impact, but certainly this generation. I just want to ask you quickly before I let you go, Steve. I've seen a couple of articles online where they're throwing out words like this is an unfair labor practice or this is bad faith bargaining. Do you see it that way?
Well, bad faith bargaining would be levying a charge against Canada Post, the corporation, the Crown, not against the government. So you can't say, well, you're bargaining in bad faith because of something a third party's done, even if that third party is a government. The application in this case would be an application that the government action is contrary to the charter. It's mm-hmm. against the charter.
Okay, we're going to leave it there. Steve and I appreciate you joining the program, giving us a little more clarity on this situation. Always appreciate you joining the show.
Thanks for having me, and for the people out there, if your grandparents need help with with the technology to get the financial stuff done, help them out.
Thanks, Stephen. Appreciate it. Thanks. Stephen Seiferling, labor and employment lawyer, managing founding lawyer of Seiferling Law in Saskatoon. So as you heard, Stephen very eloquently tease what I've got coming up on the show. We are going to talk with one of the union leaders, Brahm Enslin, who's been on our program many times before. He's from the Prairie region of the Canadian Union of Postal Workers. He will join us just after 9, and we'll get their thoughts, the union's thoughts, on where things are at and what they would like to see happen going forward. Coming up here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.